Good morning. It wasn't always the case when I got up here quite a few years ago when I first took the platform, but I think more so now. After a few years, I'm not going to say feel a little more comfortable, but I do look out into the audience and I do notice who's here, who's not here, and I kind of wonder sometimes if some of them are not here because I'm speaking, or some are here because... I'm going to assume you're here because I'm speaking. No. I'm glad you all came out this morning. One thing I do think about a lot when I do come to preach, and as I prepare or try to prepare a message from the Word of God, is I often wonder if I'll put something together that's really of God, that is really... that will meet needs of the people that are in the audience. And I pray that will be the case this morning. If you have a Bible, I'll get you to turn to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10. What is the world's biggest problem? World peace? The economy? World hunger? Some pretty big problems. And generally speaking, all of those we could legitimately say are large world problems. But I want to deal a little more specifically this morning on North America, or even in our culture that we know it. I talked to Leonard just briefly this morning, and one of the things he mentioned was being in the countries that he has been in Zambia, I suspect, primarily, was that he had a major culture shock. Things that happen in other countries don't happen here, and we tend to have a lot more, and I know it's been my experience quite a few years ago traveling a little bit. We have a lot in North America. We are very much blessed. But I believe, and I stand to be corrected, but I believe one of the major problems that we have in North America is the problem of pride. The problem of pride. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. I want to deal with it in three very simple outline, three different areas. We want to define pride and its general relation to God. Or what does God think of the idea of pride? And then we want to deal a little more specifically. We want to talk about pride in relation to God's salvation. Pride in relation to God's salvation. And thirdly, we want to talk about the opposite of pride, humility, and its relation to the Christian life. Three practical things that we can think about this morning, and we pray that God will bless His Word. One thing for sure, anything I say this morning, whether it's my notes or how I've put it together, I rest in the fact that I can leave you this morning with the Word of God. And we do well, those of us that preach, to leave people with the Word of God. It's the very best thing for you. I hope all the verses and the thoughts this morning would come together and that we would that it would meet your need this morning. Let's read in at Psalm chapter 10. We're going to read the whole chapter. Beginning of verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As far as his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in the den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, and the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his hand, out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Let's just commit the meeting into the Lord's hands. Father, we thank thee for your word. We thank thee for the practical teaching that it has for Christian. Father, we thank thee for the Spirit of God that uses its word to convict the heart that knows not the Savior. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus this morning. And Father, as we go through this a few passages this morning, may we be convicted by your word, whether it be to change the direction our lives are going, or if it's for salvation, Father, may the Spirit of God work in the hearts of those that know not thee. May we make it clear and simple and plain. Father, you never intended your word to be complicated. And Father, we know that you are a holy God. So we pray that you would bless your word this morning. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So this idea of pride, really what pride is, in a very simple term, is self-sufficiency. Pride is the idea that we can do it on our own and we don't need God. And as these verses that we read this morning, the wicked think that way. And you may not say this morning that you're wicked, but if you're unsaved here this morning, you're apart from God and you're an enemy of God. And whether you want to use the term wicked or not, you are a sinner. And there's wickedness in your heart. I don't want to paint a picture this morning that that being proud in the way we know it is a terrible thing. We are proud of our we're proud of the things that we accomplish. Grandparents and parents are proud of their children, and all these things are good. But we want to take pride in the sense of Scripture. And I'm going to define that. I believe in the sense of Scripture, it always seems to be in a very negative sense. The definition of pride, by definition, it says boastfulness, vaunting, translated vainglory, empty, puffed up, self-sufficiency, self-worth, self-centeredness, a boaster. Now, none of those things would apply to you and I, would they, this morning? Do you know of anyone that just all, whenever you talk to them, all they talk about is themselves and what they've done and what they're going to accomplish? There's people out there, and I must say, at times, maybe a little bit of that is in my own life. The verse 4 in Psalm 4, or the verse 4 that we read, it says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. How many people, in the course of a day, if we could trace their mind, think about God? If we could put a number on it, the world today, the unsaved, how often would they actually think about God? I don't know. But we live in a society where we're very self-sufficient. And we have lots. really the paraphrase of that verse is plans, people, this individual, the wicked, plan as though God does not exist. Maybe God in your thoughts are only when there's something very tragic happens. And we see that often in the world today when a tragic event, a car accident, a young child passes and dies, all of a sudden there's talk about God. So we're speaking of, in a very general sense, in God's relation to this idea of pride or self-sufficiency, it's not a very good thing. God does not look highly on those that are self-sufficient. A man's character is seen by what he says. A man's character is seen by what he says. What defines your character and mine? The words out of our mouths, is it all about our achievements? About our goals to retire? To put an addition on our home? A man's character, I believe it's very true, a man's character is defined by what he says. The verse in the Bible, I'm sure that looking over the audience this morning, I see many that are attend this place on a very regular basis, whether you're saved or not. But I'm sure you've heard this verse. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Proverbs 6, verse 16 says this, "Six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." Proverbs also 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The psalmist would say this, "Therefore pride compasseth thee about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." I believe pride can literally take over someone's life. It's a lifestyle to be proud. A lifestyle. And I don't believe it's a good lifestyle. Pride is the opposite of who God is. God is a jealous God, but God is not a boastful, proud God. What I'm trying to establish here in light of this idea of being of having pride is that it's not what God is pleased with. It's actually something that hinders individuals from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're self-sufficient. And maybe that describes you here this morning. In the Gospel of Mark, it's written, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." We'll look at four little ideas in that verse. First one, from the heart. It says from within, out of the heart, out of who you are, the inner man. Want to look at that word within, comes from within. Tells me it's an internal problem. It talks about it is as evil, which describes this idea of pride, and it defiles. It makes a man unclean. God is opposed to a proud person. That's in the general sense. That's what God thinks of this individual or boy or girl that is self-sufficient, that has lots of things that he can do on his own and he doesn't need God. The verse that comes to mind in relation to salvation, this idea of pride in relation to salvation, speaking about the Lord Jesus, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I'm trying to quote that. I'm going to go to that. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read that verse. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the greatest form of humility that was ever taken. The God of heaven humbling himself. He was the creator, sustainer of all of heaven and earth. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Materialism. Really, when it boils down to it, this idea of pride, in my estimation, I believe I'm correct, I stand to be corrected, really stems from this idea of materialism. We have so much. We have so much that we are self-sufficient. And we don't need God. We might sneak him in on a Sunday morning because it's what we do. But ultimately, through the week and through our minds and through our actions, we do things, and I would have to say in my own life, we do things, we approach things, we move on business transactions to better ourselves, and unfortunately, we have no thought of God. I want to speak a little bit to the unsaved here this morning. If you're not saved here this morning, we know that ultimately there's something in the way between you and God. And we know that that thing that's in between you is between you and God is sin. It might be in the form of pride. I believe in some way, shape, or form, that's part of it. We think of the religious, it might maybe in a form of religious pride. And I think of the Pharisees. And it says, and they loved the uttermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. I don't know if that's a form of pride that you're stumbling with. I don't know. But we have in our society today what they call humanism. And that simply means it's all about me. It's all about me. And you trace people that you know that are unsaved, maybe you know in your own heart, you might have a form of humanism. It might be all about your emotions, your physical needs, your future endeavors, but ultimately it's about you. The psalmist would say in this chapter, he that has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Here's a paraphrase. I believe what I believe, and I'm proud of it, and I will not be moved. Furthermore, I'll continue to prosper on my own. And that might very well be the course of your life. It might be the course of your life until you pass through death's doors. You may prosper. You may have materialism. You may have lots of material gain. But I'll tell you this. You'll pass out into eternity without eternal life. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. Yes, you will. For I shall never be in adversity. Yes, you'll have adversity. Because if the Lord comes back, or you go through the doors of death, there'll be great adversity. far more than you ever bargained for. Because my Bible tells me that after death, there's what the Bible calls judgment. One author has talked about pride, and he said, pride consists of an unduly exalted opinion of oneself. It is therefore impatient of a rival, hates a superior, and cannot endure a master. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who is your master? Who do you serve? Are you a self-server? Do you serve only the interests of what your ambitions are? Does your life project everything about you? Who is your master? You see, to become a Christian, to become born again, to have eternal life secured, you need to bend the knee. The opposite of being proud is to be humble, is to bend the knee and agree with God against yourself. Paul said in Ephesians, talking to the believers there, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walked, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. As other Gentiles walked in the vanity, in the pride of their own minds. I wrote down this, if a man is not willing to bend the knee and humble himself, then the consequences of this will alienate that person from a thrice holy God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the pride of life? It's an unholy ambition for self-display and self-glory. You may not be real outwardly boastful, but if your life depicts one of self-service, then that's pride. The unsaved are heading away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers when they continue to be concerned with self and the things of this world. The world is going to pass away, the Bible says, and the lust thereof, and all the things that are desirable in this present age. And the verse continues on, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to get in on God's salvation? You trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust that he was your substitute. You are a sinner. He is a Savior. And by simple faith believing, and it's a faith in action, and you turn from your sin, which is repentance, and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's salvation. And you come into the good of what God has provided through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to know for sure your sin's forgiven. It's great to be assured of a place in God's heaven. And there was a time in September 10th, 1988, when I gave up all my own ambitions. I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I still struggle with things that are in this world. But I had to give up all my ambitions and bend the knee and agree with God against myself and realize that I was a hell-deserving sinner on my way there. And the blinds were turned off, and I understood this. Christ died for me. That's salvation, isn't it? Christ died for me. Where are you this morning? We're going to go on to our last thing is pride in relation to the Christian life. And I believe it's a major hindrance. I believe it's a major hindrance in our day and age. This idea of moving, and I would have to say from just a personal experience, moving without consulting God really is what it is. It's doing things without having thoughts of God in my life. Do you do your business transactions and consult God? Is this the right move for me, God? Should I spend my money here, God? These are practical things. We need to consult with our Savior. And anything less that, I believe, is pride. Because we have the idea that we can do it on our own. And I'm just learning this lesson. Because I will admit I've done many things without consulting my Savior. How about you, Christian? Do you consult God with your day-to-day, daily tasks? Do you consult Him? Do you talk to Him? Do you pray to Him? I would have to confess that oftentimes I don't. Turn over to the book of James. We want to finish with a few verses in the book of James. I believe very practical teaching to the Christians on how we need to get over this problem of self-sufficiency. James chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 7, just read a few verses here. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Wow, there's a few fairly big things to do in those verses. Submit yourselves. See, once we're saved, we have the Spirit of God which lives within us. The world doesn't have that. The world concedes to their own lust, don't they? They have no power to overcome it. See, we have the same things. We still carry that old man, but we want to reckon him dead, but every once in a while he comes and he entices us. God doesn't tempt us, but we're enticed by the things of this world. And James here, in a very practical way, says, submit yourselves. What does he mean by that? What does he mean to just submit yourselves? I just wrote down this. Get back to who rules your life. When you are saved, you become under the rule of another. And the Spirit of God that lives within the Christian has power over sin. So if you have this idea of self-sufficiency in your own life, in your own Christian life, you need to submit yourself. Secondly, resist the devil. It doesn't mean to underestimate him, but it means to resist him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Resist the devil. The third thing, draw nigh. This is one I really fail at. What does it mean to draw nigh? I believe that means to pray. How do we draw nigh to God? We take time to speak to Him in prayer. How's your prayer life? Are you busy? Wow. I'm extremely busy in my own life. And I have great intentions in the morning. 5:30, boys, I'm out of bed. And I'm on, my mind's racing. You know what's racing about, though? What I'm going to do, the things that are on my plate for today, what I'm going to accomplish. Take 15, 20 minutes, I encourage you, to pray. Draw nigh. I wrote this, in spite of our carnality and worldliness, God promises to draw near to us if we approach him with sincerity. This is speaking to the Christian. If we confess our sins first, I believe, that's the first thing we need to do in prayer, is so that we have a clean path to God of heaven. Confess our sins, and then draw nigh to God. These verses also talked about cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. What does it mean to do that? Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. I just wrote this. Stop sinning physically and start examining your motives. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. With a physical sin that is before you, just stop it. And then examine your heart. What are your motives? Turn that TV off. Turn the TV off. You know, it used to be the saying here, the first curse word I hear on that, or the first time that they curse in this movie, I'm turning it off. Mind you, all previous to that were innuendos, but they weren't clear. But I'm only going to turn it off in the first one. Turn it off. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Challenge you this morning. Lament and mourn. What does that mean? Does that actually mean that we need to mourn? Well, I believe it does. If you have sin in your life, get down your hands and knees and mourn in repentance toward God. Confess your sin. That's what James is, I think, trying to tell us. Don't let sin destroy your fellowship with God. Humble yourself. As we talked about this morning, pride is over here and humility is over here. And we need to exchange the two. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Get a fresh glimpse of the person of Christ. If you go out of this building this morning and you say, you know what? He addressed the Christian more than the unsaved. Or he addressed the unsaved more than the Christian. You see, I believe God's word is a practical word. And you want to reach the unsaved? You want to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ? Then get rid of all these things in your life. And be like the Savior, who was, what was he? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And if you're not saved here this morning, if you come to this place Sunday after Sunday, but you've never came to a point in your life when you've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, then you need to do that because there's great consequences. Pride in its relation to God, in the general sense, we understand from the Word of God, from the definition of pride in the sense of Scriptures, is God is not pleased with someone that is proud. We know that pride in relation to salvation is things that stop an individual from coming to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. When it boils right down to it, it's sin. In the form of pride. You see, you need a new master in your life. You need someone to be accountable to. And humility in its relation to the Christian life. We've talked about those things. Submitting. Submitting to the Savior. Submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just go over those four things. Submit yourselves, resist the devil, draw nigh in prayer, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, lament and mourn, and humble. I feel good about leaving this audience this morning with the Word of God. Take away anything I've said, but this book will not return unto him void. I trust it will reach you this morning. Maybe you need to reevaluate your own life. I know my wife and I have been trying to do that lately. What's important? What are my goals? How important is the assembly? Is it actually part of where I need to be? How much should I give to this meeting? Is it a biblical thing? That's another topic in itself. Maybe someday I'll have an opportunity to speak on that. Father, we just thank thee for the Word of God. We thank thee that it is powerful, it is practical. And Father, it convicts us to live lives more pleasing unto you. We have a great Savior who loves us, who wants the very best for us. Lord, help us to live in light of your return. Live in light of what the Savior has done for us. Father, bless your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.